News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. Is the new year going to be a difficult year for home buyers? Right now, mortgage rates are at a five-month high, 6.85%, but ABC's Elizabeth Schulze says
still glimmers of hope for buyers in 2025. We've also seen some homeowners who have been waiting to move starting to accept that rates are unlikely to go back to that really low 3% level anytime soon. So it would finally free up homes for buyers who have been sitting on the sidelines.
Canada's foreign minister and public safety minister are in Florida. They're meeting with officials from the Trump transition. The president-elect has threatened Canada with tariffs. Global aviation experts suggest that Russian anti-aircraft fire caused the crash of an Azerbaijani jetliner in Kazakhstan on Christmas Day. Russia's aviation authority says there were Ukrainian drone operations taking place at the time. For the second time in about a month, a stowaway found aboard a Delta plane. This person discovered during taxiing from Seattle. The person was arrested. This is ABC News.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
For WRCE 107.7 FM News, I'm Joanne Krulatz.
A man who was arrested and is accused of crashing a vehicle into a building in Viroqua on Sunday is now missing. According to the Viroqua Police Department, a vehicle operated by Corey Simonson had been driven into the front of Smoke World Vape on Viroqua's Main Street at 3 o'clock Sunday morning. The vehicle was caught on camera. 49-year-old Simonson was arrested by Westby Police and was recommended for charges of burglary and criminal damage to property. However, Corey Simonson has been missing since Monday night. Simonson was last seen in Westby Monday afternoon around 2 at his mother's residence. He is described as a 49-year-old white male, approximately 6'1", and weighing 180 pounds. Corey took his mother's car, which is a 2007 Chevrolet Equinox, maroon in color with Wisconsin registration of AEF6771. The fender and driver's door are a different color than the vehicle. The vehicle has been entered as stolen. Corey made suicidal statements to family prior to leaving. He is believed to be heading to Minnesota and was last seen in Buffalo County. If you see Corey Simonson, please call the Westby Police Department at 608-634-4411, or you can also call your local law enforcement.
The Wisconsin State Journal reports that social media accounts believed to belong to Abundant Life Christian school shooter Natalie Rupnow indicate the 15-year-old spent time in online forums where violent videos and white supremacist beliefs are common. Rupnow would have had access to that sort of material on platforms popular with other school shooters like Discord and Telegram. Investigators are still sorting through evidence to try and determine Rupnow's motivations for fatally shooting a teacher and a fellow Abundant Life student and wounding 6 others before killing herself just over a week and a half ago.
Bucks drop one to the Nets. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks lost at home to the Brooklyn Nets, 111-105. Damian Lillard and Giannis both out with what's described as a non-COVID illness. Doc Rivers says the Nets' defense made the difference.
I thought the pressure got to us. I thought we didn't handle it very well. They sped us up. We broke our offense.
The Bucks travel to Chicago to play the Bulls tomorrow night. NFL, Packers holding practice for Sunday's game in Minnesota. Matt LaFleur asked about the status of defensive back Jair Alexander.
His chances of playing this week better than mine?
I'd say probably not.
What's standing in the way?
His knee.
Men's college hockey. The Badgers take on Ferris State at 5 o'clock tomorrow night in the holiday faceoff at Fiserv Forum in Milwaukee. Wisconsin 7-10-1 for the season so far.
We'll have our work cut out from us, but for us right now, it's us getting focused for the puck drop, finding a way to get that game in our side of the ledger.
That's the Badgers head coach Mike Hastings. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
We have some dense fog this morning. It is going to be drizzly, foggy, cloudy here all day with rain likely by later this afternoon. Our high today, 44. Rain tonight, between a quarter and a half inch of rain possible with a low of 36. Tomorrow, some rain in the morning, some gradual clearing in the afternoon with a high of 44. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 39.
The Todd Alba Show.
UW Systems spends $51 million of our taxpayer money for consultants. Three times the budget shortfall that triggered the Oshkosh layoffs in 2023. Why is there such silence from Democrats in the state capitol on this? Ask people in Richland Center, Waukesha, Washington County, if they got their $51 million worth for the UW system.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Cindy from Appleton.
Time Magazine has made the convicted felon the man of the year this year. Shame on them.
Time Magazine base their person of the year on impact and like newsmaking. The CEO assassination is pretty much the only news cycle that isn't entirely focused on Donald Trump, and yet it still relates to him because he has no health care policy.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local civic media radio station and on the civic media app. Dom Salvia.
Next time, James Santel, former U.S. attorney and host of Amicus, The Law Review, will join me to discuss if the president-elect should be disqualified under the 14th Amendment's Insurrection Clause. Tune in.
The Dom Salvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6. News from the Center, WRCE.
I broke free on a Saturday morning. I put the pedal to the
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. It's Friday. That means Friday's my co-host, Sandy Williams, and we're having a discussion that's going to ramp up even more about where we are in this nation and where we could easily go, you know, after 4 years of Donald Trump. And whether or not confidence in this nation will be shaken forever. And, you know, we're kind of heading towards that. And what is it going to take? You know, Sandy mentioned, and we talked about this on the way up, you know, revolution.
Well, my view is that what it's likely to take is charismatic leadership, and different charismatic leadership than we have just bought into, because there's no question. And charismatic, frequently, I think people think that means good, you know, that it's a positive force. No, charismatic leaders are people who lead by dint of their personality. Sometimes it's good, sometimes it's bad, but it's something that the public, that the people can buy into, that they do buy into. And clearly, well, 49% of the American public has bought into the form of leadership that Donald Trump has offered. And in my book, that leadership is of a charismatic nature. It's his personality. He promised people everything. Nobody with their right mind thought he was going to deliver all those things that he talked about. And so what they really bought into was the nature of this person, which was an anti-establishment figure who was going to take on supposedly the establishment, meaning in his mind or their mind, the deep state, the government, and change things. Now, my concern is that everything he's talked about does not portend changes that will benefit Tom, Dick, and Mary and will make the system work better for the broad middle class. But there are people potentially out there, I can't identify them right now, unfortunately, who I think are charismatic leaders who could lead us in the direction of
Sandy,
working on solving these problems.
Only come around once so often. You know, John F. Kennedy. You know,
Star of Bethlehem.
Yeah.
I mean, you're right. Yeah. I mean, charismatic leaders can't be counted upon to arrive and when and as needed, but they are more likely to arrive when the people are disgruntled and are ready to be led, okay? It does require a condition and a circumstance in which people are ready for the kind of leadership that's being offered to them. Donald Trump seized an opportunity, lots of people disgruntled. he used a style of leadership that they bought into. And my hope is that another charismatic leader, not identified yet, will come forward who has the right instincts for leading the American people in a direction of a correction course that will correct this system before it breaks in a manner that it can't be fixed from within.
Before we go back to the phone, Sandy, I guess I would say to you, if the people were united on the same issues and saw the same things, right now we've got this divide. And so people who don't see it through the same lens. And that's why we had half the people go for Trump and half the people go for somebody else. The thing that impacts all of us is the same.
Well, I do think this. I think that the people who thought that Bernie Sanders might reflect a style of leadership and a movement that could be embraced from the left and the right were probably more right than I gave them credit for being at the time they were saying it. And that he represented an anti-establishment populist form of thought that could have been embraced possibly by people from the left and the right. It didn't happen, but I think that there is a potential down the line for something similar to happen. I think lots of people are in agreement that Tom, Dick, and Mary are beset by problems, and it could be that they'll at some point realize that they're all beset by the same problems and that those same problems need to be solved.
But there's somebody there making sure that they stay separated because they benefit from them being divided.
Yes, the political process right now has caused them to be separated, and for half of those people to think that the enemy is the bureaucrat, the dark, the deep state, not the politicians. They're able to point at them and hold their nose and say, no, it's not us. It's those people you can't see the names of who work in the government. That's the establishment you don't like. And the other half of those people are angry at corporate America and at business America and at the organized business sector, at the capitalism that is the system that operates in America. And so we've got people upset. But they're focusing their upset in two different directions.
All right, let's go to Jim from Eden. Good morning to you, Jim. You say what?
Yes. Good morning, Earl.
Good morning.
And Sandy. Yeah, you were talking about taxes and how, you know, reducing them may be harmful, you know, to our economy or our country. And just a few points. You know, 20% of the top earning people in the U.S. pay 70% of all taxes. 50% of the country does not pay federal or state taxes. Okay. Congress.
Now, let's just take those numbers and unbundle them because they're accurate. But do you know what percentage of the income is earned by those top 20%? What percentage of the income that's earned in the United States is earned by those people who pay that portion of the tax?
Probably 80%.
Okay, so they're only paying taxes because they earn so much money. They're not. It's not that the lower 80% are shirking their opportunity to pay taxes. It's quite the contrary. That top 20% pays a lower percentage of their income as taxes, but they earn far more money than the rest of the people. And the 50% of the people who don't pay taxes, do you know what their income is?
Poverty.
Yeah, their right. Income is $46,000 is the median income in the United States. So 50% of Americans earn less than $46,000, and for many people, $46,000 results in a zero federal tax obligation. Other than FICA, all of those people who are have jobs where they are employed by third parties pay their FICA taxes. So it's not that they're paying no tax, but they aren't paying the federal income tax.
So Jim, what's your point?
The argument is always, you know, the rich need to pay more, and I'm just saying they pay 70% of all.
Yeah, but did you just understand what Sandy just said? Compared to what they're making, they're not paying their fair share. So since Sandy said it, what are your thoughts about that, Jim?
I mean, the deal is, Jim, well, I don't know, but the thing is, you can't get blood from a stone. And so taxes are paid by the people who have the money to pay taxes, and taxes can't be paid by the people who don't have money. And so these numbers end up fooling us, I think, into thinking that somehow the wealthy are beset. Those numbers look the way they do because the middle class has shrunk. If you'd recited those same numbers in 1970, they would have been way different.
Would you agree with this, that Congress right now spends each year 10 times more dollars than the amount of taxes that we take in?
They don't spend 10 times more. The deficit would be far greater than it is today if it was a 10 times number. But Congress is spending more money than we take in, and the irresponsibility of the fiscal constraints in government were heightened most under the George Bush II administration, where they cut taxes and waged a trillion-dollar war at the same time. So we've become very undisciplined in Washington about the expenditure of money. Sometimes that excess expenditure is warranted. It was warranted during the pandemic when we otherwise would have slipped into a very deep recession, and it certainly was warranted at the time when revenue was diminished greatly in 2007 and 2008 by the financial collapse and the need to support the economy.
So, Sandy, Jim represents a mentality. Let me finish my point. That the wealthy, why are we trying to force the wealthy to pay more? All we need to do is cut spending. That's what Jim is, that's what he's parroting.
Well, I mean,
that's what he's saying.
Well, I mean, but any of us who've lived around a dining room table and tried to work out finances for a family, look at those two things. But the fact is that governments operate in a manner that is a little different than a family, number one. Number two, I mean, the government can control how much revenue they take in. And so when you sit around the family table, you don't talk about cutting your income as the first step towards working out fiscal problems in the family. You talk about increasing income. But the issue with our country is one in which we have lost financial responsibility in Washington, and we've completely lost responsibility on the side of taxing. We are extremely reluctant in our country to increase taxes. I mean, I can tell you that in 1977, the marginal tax rate for an income earner was 77%, okay? And it's nothing like that today. People who earned a lot of money years ago, decades ago, paid far more of that money that exceeded a certain number than they pay today. Today, the rate is quite flat, and it flattens out at 41%.
But, Sandy, my point is Jim's an ordinary guy, and yet his conversation is he's supporting we're taxing the wealthy too much, and we just need to cut spending. He's an average guy. So why is he seeing it from that perspective?
Well, you know, I think we admire the wealthy in this country. I said that earlier, that
one of the things... Well, I'm not one of those.
Well, I'm just saying that as a society, we're vulnerable to this kind of discussion, which is gaslighting on the part of those that are wealthy.
All right, 855-752-4842. Guys, hang on. Come right to you. You're tuned in to the Earl Ingram Show.
This is News from the Center, WRCE.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. Big news in Wisconsin this month, as much of the controversial anti-union Act 10 law was struck down in a ruling by Dane County Circuit Court Judge Jacob Frost. Two takeaways on this. One, the ruling gets at the heart of what has always made this law so brazenly political, by defining public safety employees differently from general public employees. That decision was pretty clearly made not based on across-the-board policy, but on which unions backed Scott Walker for governor in 2010. It would be fitting if that is what ultimately spells the end for this controversial law. Secondly, this case is headed to an appeal, which almost certainly will end up at the Wisconsin Supreme Court. While this case still might be decided by the court's current 4-3 liberal majority, it's a good reminder of just how important the upcoming race for state Supreme Court will be.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
The Todd Alba Show.
UW System spends $51 million of our taxpayer money for consultants. Three times the budget shortfall that triggered the Oshkosh layoffs in 2023. Why is there such silence from Democrats in the state capitol on this? Ask people at Richland Center, Waukesha, Washington County, if they got their $51 million worth for the UW System.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2, on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
And you ask me what I want this year, and I try to make this kind and clear, just a chance that maybe we'll find better days. 'Cause I don't need boxes wrapped in strings and desire.
That's what people are looking for, better days. I don't foresee the better days coming.
This group is called the Goo Goo Dolls.
Yeah, I've heard of the Goo Goo Dolls.
Yeah.
855-752-4842. That's Friday. That means Friday's my co-host, Sandy Williams. Sandy, the music.
New Year's. People looking for different things in the new year. It's a funky new year. It was the beginning, but we're looking for better things.
All right, let's go to the phone lines. Tom from L.A. Good morning to you, Tom. You say what?
I don't know how Sandy does it, but he sure does know how to play both sides of them. There's no doubt about that. I mean, he definitely is someone that can get your ire up one day and another day makes you feel good. But today's one of those days where, you know, talks about the Supreme Court and the fairness of it. And right now we do not have a fair Supreme Court in my belief, but I don't want to go there. I wanted to ask Sandy, if you look at history back to 1924, what was the tax rate then? And tell me how it is that it's similar now to then. Because now we have five families. I like the billionaire defender, by the way, the guy, Jim, that just called up. He's from the billionaire defender. There's five families that own more wealth than the bottom 60% of this country. There's an income disparity in this country that is causing all of these issues. And last, Earl, I just wanted to say, because I know Susan and other smart listeners out there wanted to give a referral. If people could Google Tom Hartman, Common Dreams, article Two Santa Claus Theory by Jude Wininsky, or about Jude Wininsky, I'd really recommend them do that. Also, there's a book called The Fourth Turning. Great read. It talks about every 100 years, different, every 80 years, different characters. And also, Earl talked about early on in the show about how all this stuff is going on. There's a movie out there called Don't Look Up. Leonardo DiCaprio's in it. It'll explain everything where everyone's watching Fred and Circus and an asteroid coming to hit America, and everybody's more interested in pop culture than they are in that.
Well, Tom, thank you very much for the call. You know, Sandy, you know, I don't have any faith in the Supreme Court.
Well, my point wasn't that I have faith in the Supreme Court. My point was that when we lose faith in the Supreme Court, when the Supreme Court would fail to constrain the president, if it does, then that would be the ultimate loss of faith for a whole bunch of people, right? So if the president decides he's going to run for a third term and they find a way to get around that, if the president decides he's going to declare martial law and the Supreme Court decides that's okay, if the president decides he can fire 20,000 federal workers and they decide it's okay, we're now moved in the direction of a constitutional crisis that might not be recoverable from, okay? So I'm simply having a foreboding view of what it is that might happen if we don't get on a better track. I think that the Supreme Court has failed us in a number of ways, and the Supreme Court is suspect in terms of its apparent ethics. But we have yet to see it withstand or stand up to some real tests with respect to the president and his the operation of the presidency. I'm fearful about their capacity to do it.
So Donald, so Sandy, clearly, you and I talked a little bit on the way up here about Richard Nixon, and Richard Nixon, whatever you want to say about Richard Nixon, when it came time, he wasn't bigger than the courts. He wasn't bigger than the country. And Richard Nixon stepped aside.
Right. And
right.
Yeah. And he understood the norms, and he understood that he was that he couldn't take on the norms and wouldn't take on the norms. And I attribute to him probably some view that the institution was more important than his presidency. And unfortunately, I think the current president-elect doesn't have that view. He wants to exercise all of the powers of the presidency that he can possibly exercise, not the ones that are offered to him within the Constitution, but the ones that he can exercise successfully regardless. And that's the danger, I think, that we face going forward is the capacity of our system to absorb that kind of conduct, to constrain that sort of conduct, and And ultimately, what we're faced with, though, is a problem of solving the problem that Tom does mention, which is the disparity of wealth and the inability of the Tom, Dick, and Mary middle class to thrive. And unfortunately, I don't think that problem gets solved simply by revising the tax code, because Tom, Dick, and Mary don't pay enough taxes to cause for the taxes to be the problem. The problem they have is that our government isn't offering them the safeguards and the social safety net that they need. That's one of the problems. And one of the other problems is that our capitalism, the way it's currently operating, is heading on a vector to provide them less and less of the shared wealth. Okay, that they are getting less and less of the wealth that's being created by our current capital system. And so we need to make sure that our form of capitalism is established in a manner that is sustainable. And if it isn't, then this golden goose that is feathering the nest of Elon Musk and all of these terribly wealthy people is going to get choked. It's going to die.
But Sandy, that form of capitalism that we romanticized with 30, 40 years ago died a long time ago.
Well, it hasn't died. It hasn't died in a number of other countries. Okay,
well, I'm talking about in our country.
Yes, because we have decided that our form of capitalism will be totally unfettered, and we want it to be less fettered than it is currently.
Yeah, we do the sheep, but those who control the sheep don't want it.
Well, they want it to be less fettered.
They want it to, yes.
Yeah,
they can continue down the path that they're going down.
Well,
855-752-4842. It's Friday. That means Friday's my co-host, Sandy Williams, and you hang on the phone lines. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show.
News from the Center, WRCE. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin.
Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
For WRCE 107.7 FM News, I'm Joanne Krulotz. The 4-H Livestock Quiz Bowl and Livestock Skillathon teams from Grant County were both crowned Reserve National Champions at the 2024 North American International Livestock Exposition in Louisville, Kentucky. In the Livestock Quiz Bowl, contest team members who participated answered questions via a buzzer system format. Michael Edgington, Cameron Patterson, Luke Patterson, and Libby Vogt were team members. Libby Vogt placed fifth and Luke Patterson placed eighth in total questions answered. In the Livestock Skillathon contest, participants completed 25-question written test and 7 individual skillathon stations where contestants participate in livestock breed identification, feed identification, equipment identification, meat identification, quality assurance, and wool and hay judging. The final portion is 6-team exercises where each team works to solve different scenarios involving live animals concepts. These sessions help youth learn problem-solving, critical thinking, and teamwork. Iris Adams, Gwen Radel, Aiden Patterson, and Leah Patterson were team members. Wisconsin placed 7th in identification, 5th in evaluation, and 1st in quality assurance. Iris Adams was 1st, Leah Patterson was 3rd, Aiden Patterson was 5th, and Gwen Radel was 6th in quality assurance. Overall, Iris Adams was 5th, Leah Patterson was 9th, Gwen Radel was 11th, and Aiden Patterson was 21st. Dennis Patterson coached both teams. Grant County earned the right to compete at these national contests by winning the senior division at the 2024 Wisconsin 4-H Livestock Quiz Bowl and Skillathon event. For WRCE News, I'm Joanne Krulotz.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. The film Gross Point Blank did not have a funny script, according to Minnie Driver. The New York Post reports that Driver, who played the lead role opposite John Cusack, said it was a consensus on the set that the script wasn't funny, so they took it upon themselves to improvise after clearing it with the studio. I wouldn't say the improvising made the film funny. Driver most likely did not get a Christmas card from the writer of Gross Point Blank. Paul Hogan's Crocodile Dundee co-star has passed away at the tender age of 90. Crocodile Heaven just welcomed one of its best actors in Bert the Crocodile, who played opposite Hogan in the charming 1980s comedy that made everyone think they could pull off an Australian accent. Bert the Crocodile died at Crocosaurus Cove, sort of like the Beverly Hills retirement home for crocodiles in Australia. Bert's acting work was commended in the Crocodile franchise, but he had trouble landing roles afterwards, probably because of either bad representation, the fact that he was never good at auditioning, or there were just not enough roles written for crocodiles. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
We have some dense fog this morning. It is going to be drizzly, foggy, cloudy here all day with rain likely by later this afternoon. Our high today, 44. Rain tonight, between a quarter and a half inch of rain possible with a low of 36. Tomorrow, some rain in the morning, some gradual clearing in the afternoon with a high of 44. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 39.
The Todd Alba Show.
UW Systems spends $51 million of our taxpayer money for consultants. 3 times the budget shortfall that triggered the Oshkosh layoffs in 2023. Why is there such silence from Democrats in the state capitol on this? Ask people at Richland Center, Waukesha, Washington County, if they got their $51 million worth for the UW system.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2, on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Dom Salvia Show.
How about this one? Harvey Kay, a Delano Democrat.
The problem with that is that that was his mother's family name. You might not realize that he had a father, too.
Come on, man.
Subscribe to my arguments, and you can call a Dom Democrat.
All right, I'll take a Dom Democrat. But Franklin Delano Roosevelt, a big favorite here on this show.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app. Maggie Dawn.
Happy holidays, all. I am on vacation, but you're going to have Jimmy Costa behind the mic. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. You can text us that same number. It's Friday. That means Friday's my co-host, Sandy Williams. And Sandy, the music?
New Year's resolutions, new, you know, the new year, people are looking at it with different, from different vantage points, but I think everyone hopes for better, but worries about what it might, what might happen. You know, I can't, what I can't believe is that it's already 2025.
Man, I was talking about this the other day, a quarter of the century.
Yeah.
Is already, and we were thinking about when, man, we're getting close to 2000.
Yeah, now we're
a quarter into it. But Sandy, for people who don't know, you and I have had an ongoing conversation during the breaks, and it's just been fascinating with the discussion that we're having about where this is headed. And so I wanted to get into some of those things as we move on, but let's go to the phone lines and Susan from Kenosha. Good morning to you, Susan. Thank you very much for the call. You say what?
Well, good morning to you, and a shout out to Tom and a shout out to you also as well. I think that people should get back to reading books and don't take for granted what these politicians or anyone is saying. You need to investigate. Two books that I recommend is Woodward's War, and I do think that people should read Alexander Navalny, The Patriot. Very interesting reading. And it's not that it is so interesting. It talks about other countries and what's being involved in that. The other thing that I would like to ask you to do is this information that has come out on Kay Granger, the Republican Texas head of the appropriation chairman for the United States, which actually does send out or she's supposed to oversee the spending of the federal taxes. Now, according to the news agency, she in the past 6 months has been in a nursing home in the dementia ward. And this woman has been able to send in her it's amazing what a brain this woman must have since she's on the dementia ward, that she has been able to send in her picks for whatever they were voting on. And she also has achieved a salary of $87,000 in the 6 months that she has been in the dementia ward. The other thing that I would like you to look at is the U-Lines and how they have been sending up for the past 3 years immigrants, illegal immigrants, actually, to work in their facilities.
So Sandy and I talked about that last week, Susan. The U-Lines.
Yeah, and I think that this should be investigated because how can they ship them and work in our facilities and not hire our people? So these are the things that people really need to go and look at and really explore the honest truth about what's going on in this country.
Hey, Susan, thank you very much for the call. Really appreciate it. Let's go to David from San Francisco. Good morning to you, David. How you doing?
Oh, thanks, Earl. Yeah, it sounds like that company ought to have their business license yanked. And that seems like one of the local, like they say, all politics is local, will yank the business license of a corporate parasite. If they're not paying people and abusing the immigration system, then easy choice.
So, David, let me ask you about where you know this thing is headed. The wealthy, obscenely wealthy in this country, as Tom pointed out, five families more wealthy than almost 60-70% of the American people. And this thing just keeps pushing, and we've clearly got a president that, and others who think that the solution to this is to cut the taxes on them even more, and then cut the safety net from the very people who voted for him. And so people are frustrated and angry because they continue to fall further and further behind. You can't blame it on Joe Biden anymore. Joe Biden's going to be gone, and these things are going to continue to exist. Well, where do you come down on that?
Well, it doesn't sound like a more perfect union to me.
No.
If you think about taxation with representation, what these old boys have figured out is they don't pay taxes, and they're buying the representation.
Yes.
They're bribing for the representation. So it defies the very principles of America. They're getting representation without taxation. And that's an easy choice. You were asking about New Year's resolutions. Personally, I'm going to have impeached Trump by February. And the last woman that just called recommending that book or books, I would recommend one called I Paid Hitler. It was by Fritz Thiessen, and Fritz Thiessen was the first guy to give Adolf Hitler 5 million Deutschmarks, and he ended up in a concentration camp because he was Catholic. So if you look at the problem that we've got here, both with Trump or with these oligarchs, they're all type A personalities, and they'll stab each other in the back. And they're going to use tax dollars to do it. So it's dangerous to allow them to get away with not paying taxes because they end up with so much money and so many bad ideas that they end up hurting us.
We as citizens don't have the capacity to change that, okay? And only the elected representatives do. But they seem to have control over portion of those elected representatives.
Well, part of the problem of that is, you know, in the original Constitution, it said that we would get a new congressman for every 30,000 people. And then in the 1800s, they doubled it so that we would have a congressman for every 60,000 people. Well, a little over 100 years ago, I think it was 1914 Congress, they came up with the idea of limiting Congress to 435 members, and then the workload on a congressman would get bigger and bigger and bigger, where it is today, well, over 700,000 people per congressman. And so we're obviously not getting taxation with representation, and their bribes go further with a limited Congress. So to get back to the original precepts of the Constitution, we should have more congressmen. But finally, yesterday you were on Dom's show, Earl.
Yes.
And I gave this I gave an account about Harlan Crow. And Harlan Crow basically as a welfare cheat. And I can give you the attribution for that story. It was information that came out of ProPublica.
So David, I wish I had more time, but I don't. Thank you very much for the call. Let's go to CJ. Good morning to you, CJ. You say what?
Good morning, Earl and Sandy. You know, as I listen to you, though, I find it amazing that all of a sudden you're concerned about all these things that are going to happen, about some of the things that have happened, like the 300,000 miners that have been lost in this country during the Biden administration that are probably working in the slave trade, either sex industry or undercover.
I mean, I don't, you know, I don't know, you know. Clearly, CJ, wherever you're getting your news and your information, I don't know. Sandy, do you know anything about 300 so-called minors that are?
Well, he's talking about people who are under age 18, I presume, minors, and that.
Minors. Oh, okay.
He's talking about, and I guess he's talking about immigrant minors. I'm not sure, but. We're talking about, I'm not even talking about, I'm talking about the structure of the government and what's going to happen.
Which is endangered.
To the American democracy and what's going to happen to the structure of government and what's happening to the confidence in the court system and what will happen to us if we lose confidence in the court system. So we weren't talking about that other stuff, but... and I was talking I don't know if it's nonsense or not. If it's a fact, I don't know if it's a fact. But what we were talking about was really more just like what's going to happen to the American government and what should we be concerned about or what should we keep our eyes open
for?
Well,
Sandy, I'm sorry. I'm going to consider it nonsense when everybody else is following, for the most part, the conversation that we're having. And what it is we're talking about, and we're going somewhere with the conversation, and somebody changes it to something that can't be corroborated, I'll call it nonsense. Let's go to Cassandra. Good morning to you, Cassandra. You say what?
Hi, Earl, and hi, Sandy, and I hope you both had a Merry Christmas. What I just wanted to say is that this system that we have where there is a growing class divide, it has a lot to do with the attitudes of our political leaders, our elected leaders on both sides of the aisle. I am not attacking one particular party. And one example that I can give you is their ability to trade in stocks, and it has made many of the elected leaders extremely wealthy men and women. And although many of them claim that it can't be proven that they are enriching themselves off of their knowledge from their committee positions, but I just find it amazing, for example, that someone who is newly elected in office can leave office with 2 to 3 million in the nest egg. So I think we need to start there by holding our political leaders accountable. That's just one step. So I'd like to hear your thoughts.
Cassandra, do you agree that right now a major tax cut is the offering of the day and something that is going to benefit or improve the lives of the average people of this nation?
No. You know what? I have never believed in trickle-down economics. Now, as I shared with you, I did vote for Trump, but I don't agree with all of his policies of the Republican Party policies. And to be quite honestly, our economy, I do not believe, can handle or can maintain that $6 trillion tax cut that he wants to keep.
But yet they're going to do it.
I do think Cassandra's what she mentioned is right on, though. I think the ethics of Washington have glorified the accumulation of wealth. And it's one of the reasons why they ignore the disparity of income in this country. I think the American public believes in the accumulation of wealth to the detriment of itself.
All right, 855-752-4842. Hang on, you're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show.
This is News from the Setter, WRCE.
You're an organ donor, right? Here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. heroicdeed.com.
Ho-Chunk Gaming Madison, home of the Big Win and Madison Casino Guru, is transforming guests into winners, making an ordinary day into a big win day is easy with a 95% average payout. And with over 140 daily jackpots, the number of people winning has never been bigger. So what are you waiting for? Escape to Ho-Chunk Gaming Madison for your next big win. Ho-Chunk Gaming
Madison. Uh-oh, Brad's buzzed.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's starting with the woots. And now a speech.
I just want to say that friendship is about heart. Heart and brain. Who's with me?
Good thing is, he knows when he's buzzed.
And my brain is saying, when it's time to go home, somebody call me a ride.
Love that guy.
Me too.
Know your buzzed warning signs? Call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
The Todd Alba Show.
UW System spends $51 million of our taxpayer money for consultants. Three times the budget shortfall that triggered the Oshkosh layoffs in 2023. Why is there such silence from Democrats in the state capitol on this? Ask people at Richland Center, Waukesha, Washington County, if they got their $51 million worth for the UW System.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
One minute to midnight, 1 minute to go, 1 minute to say goodbye before we say hello. Let's start the new year right.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. Text us that same number. Sandy, you already know what that is.
Well, Bing Crosby, I think we might be the only two people involved with this show who know who can remember who Bing Crosby was. But
Come on, man. Bing Crosby. So, Sandy. We've talked a lot about just where things are in this country, and we know what we are faced with and what's coming down the pike. And there are people who think that the change from Democrats to Republicans is going to be the panacea. It's going to change things back, and they're hoping and they're banking on the fact that the Republicans are going to restore what they've lost.
What they mean the middle class?
Yeah. Well, because they said the Democrats.
I even had trouble saying that, much less thinking it. The people wanted change, and they were frustrated with the system, and they bought into an anti-establishment argument from Donald Trump. And my concern is that it was not based on a knowledge that he actually had policies he was going to implement that would help them, and I continue to have that concern. And the other concern I have is just our capacity of our government to withstand a whole bunch of testing where the testing is done outside the norms of our government, where constitutional powers are constantly being tested, where our courts are constantly being called upon to adjudicate the power of the presidency and the power of Congress. And so, my concern is that our system be maintained in a manner that is sufficiently operable so that it's capable of fixing the problems that Tom, Dick, and Mary face from within, that we can fix it within the current political system, and that we don't have to create a new and different political system, because fixing it from without the system doesn't go well. It hasn't gone well in any countries. And I've never before in my life really worried that the American system itself was in jeopardy. But, you know, it could be.
The government, as it's presently structured, though, Sandy, is struggling. I don't think anybody can say that it's not. And people have lost faith in it.
Yes. And that has set the table for the current circumstance and for the current sort of movement of populism, but The fact is that we need to have a system that can support the needs of Tom, Dick, and Mary, and we need for the politicians to be aware of that, and they need to be reacting to the needs of Tom, Dick, and Mary and stop reacting to the needs that are presented to them by K Street, the lobbyists. And so, you know, as Tom and other callers have pointed out, what we need to do is get money out of politics and get the people's voice back into it.
That sounds great, but I don't see the people with money relinquishing their hold on the politicians.
I think that the Bernie Sanders movement, which fizzled before it could become the presidency, was working on that very basis.
Was.
And I think that the country is fully capable of having another movement that would be similarly situated, that might be led by someone who would have the charisma to carry the day. Because I think that there is a shared view on both sides of the aisle that the government is not reactive to Tom, Dick, and Mary, to the people, but rather it's reactive to money. And so I think there is the potential that we could get there from here. But it, like I said earlier in the show, I think it will take a charismatic leader who is not currently on the horizon.
You know, Sandy, I clearly don't see that person. I see pain and suffering like we haven't seen in this nation for a long time. And as you stated earlier, the only way that that can be changed is people revolt.
Well, here's this. I don't think that we are seeing pain and suffering today like we've never seen before. I think we're seeing frustration like we've never seen before. I think we're seeing a trend and a trajectory for the distribution of wealth in this country like we've never seen
before.
Well,
let's say for generations.
And so I think that we are currently on a trajectory which is very worrisome. I think we still have the capacity inside this country to solve the problems within our system. But like I said, the system needs to be tweaked. It needs to be changed. And the main thing that needs to be changed is that the politicians in this country need to be listening to, responding to the needs of the people, Tom, Dick, and Mary.
Sandy, I didn't see the Great Depression. I didn't live through it. But these are times that are the worst times in my lifetime for many people.
Well, I think,
and so maybe not the worst, but for those people today, with the cost of living and our government being in the debt that it's in, some horrible times, and going to get worse, and so I don't see that the wealthy and the people who are garnering more and more wealth, I don't see them even being, for the most part, being concerned about the rest of those people.
Well,
they don't see them.
That's why we're going to have to wish for and hope for a better new year.
Yeah. And so we'll be back. Thank everybody who made the show go. I don't know. Who's up next, Calvin?
Matt Rothschild's the meeting today.
All right. Matt Rothschild is back. All right. Thank everybody who made the show go. I will see you guys on Monday. See you later.
News from the Center, WRCE. Dom Salvia.
Next time, James Santel, former U.S. attorney and host of Amicus, the Law Review, will join me to discuss if the president-elect should be disqualified under the 14th Amendment's Insurrection Clause. Tune in.
The Dom Salvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. A U.S. official tells ABC that a Russian anti-aircraft system may be responsible for the Azerbaijan plane crash Wednesday in Kazakhstan. ABC's Inez de la Quatera spoke with a crew member who was one of the 29 survivors.
He says they heard three thuds while they were flying over Grozny. He says that people on board actually were not panicking, but he does tell us that they're not being allowed to speak. So it was actually a very short conversation. He kept telling us that he had to get off the phone because there are people in the hospital right now telling him to get off the phone.
Russia says there were Ukrainian drone operations in the area. For the second time in about a month, a stowaway made it onto a Delta Airlines plane. The unticketed passenger discovered as the plane taxied in Seattle. It returned to the gate. The man was arrested. New York prosecutors announced the indictment of the man accused of burning a woman to death inside of a subway train. The suspect, Sebastian Zepeda, remains in custody. Immigration officials say he's in the U.S. illegally. This is ABC News.